Come on, Kingdom Culture, let's give God a hand of praise in this place tonight. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. You may be seated. Praise God. Why don't you give the band a hand as they take their seats too? It is always good to be back in Groningen. I know I've been coming here over 10 years and I still can't say Groningen. But I hope it gets better every single year. You know, it's wonderful to be here. And, you know, I had the privilege of speaking this morning in your central location. Anyone here from the central location? Come on, I'm with you. But you know, it's fantastic to know what goes on here in the main location and in the central location. And I am fortunate that I get to travel and preach all over the world. And I need to encourage you that what you have here in your city in Holland is special. It is unique and it is sadly not normal yet. But what you have is incredible. God is on the move in Groningen, and I think it's wonderful to see such growth. You have incredible pastors, and I have got to know them over the years, and I would like you to take a moment to honor them for the work and the service and the leadership that they have. Oh, what a good day to be alive. You know, I travel a lot, and my favorite travel partner is my wife. Her name is Lisa. They're going to show you a photo of her. You know, I'm married to one wife. Praise God for that. And there she is. You know, every time I look at Lisa, I know that there is a God. I don't know how I did it, but God is good. And that's our little girl, Lila. And I'm going to touch a little bit on our story in my message tonight. But some of you know that our first baby girl, sadly, was born a stillborn. So was not alive when my wife gave birth to her. And we were told that we may never have children, that it didn't look good for us at all. But we believed in a God of miracles. And we held on to his promises and his truth. And so they're going to show you another photo here of our Lila. There she is. If you've never seen a miracle, just take a look at that. You have right now. There she is. She's my cool girl. She sends her Dutch greetings. She said, Daddy, make sure you say Hoede Avond. No, she didn't really. Anyway, are you ready for the word tonight? I'll just go home then, if you're not ready. Let's pray and let's get into this. Heavenly Father, Lord, we do indeed thank you for all that you have already accomplished in and through this church. But Lord, we know that your best is still yet to come. And so, Father, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to move in this place tonight. I ask that every man, every woman, and every child under the sound of my voice will leave this place different to the way they came in. I ask that minds will be renewed, that hearts will be restored, that souls will be refreshed as we gather around your word. May no one leave this place the same way that they came in. In Jesus' name. Amen. That's my favorite Dutch word. Jesus Christos. Fantastic. Well, the title of my message tonight is this: I Will Worship. I wonder, what do you think of when you hear the word worship? If you have been in church a little while, you may think that it is just the few songs that we sing before the preacher gets up to speak. It may be a word that you only associate with religion. Perhaps you have never even thought about the word worship? Well, worship means to admire, to celebrate, to love something very deeply. And true worship comes from the heart. Now, you may say to me, Luke, I don't worship anything. But if I checked your schedule, looked at your phone, asked your friends where you spend your money, my findings may tell me something different. You see, what you worship, you give your time to. If you spent a week with me, it wouldn't take you long to realize how much I love the greatest football team in the English Premier League, Watford FC. Oh, come on. Oh, that's it. You all support Heerenveen here, don't you? Oh, come on now. Now we're getting real in church. Nah, you're Ajax fans. FC Groningen. Yeah, come on. I'm going to pray for you all after the service. You know, I love Watford FC. I follow all their news. I go to the games. I know the players' names. I even buy the replica shirt. Here it is. Just look at this piece of art right here. You know, black and yellow is my favorite color. It's a beautiful thing. I was at the Wembley Stadium last weekend with 35,000 other Watford fans as we won in the semi-final of the cup. I was singing, I was dancing, I was having a wonderful time. Now, I would say that I do not worship Watford. But if you asked my wife, she may say something else. You see, we can worship things without realizing. Perhaps you are like me and it's your football team. Maybe it's your favorite band. Perhaps you have a secret crush on an actress, or you deeply admire a particular actor. Do you idolize certain people? No, we can get real for a moment. Maybe money is what you worship. Maybe your career is what you worship. Perhaps you are obsessed with the pursuit of fame. Maybe you worship yourself, your body, and some of the material possessions that you own, like your car or your house. I wonder tonight, what do you worship? Now, there is nothing wrong with any of the examples I have just mentioned, providing that God is still first place in your heart. It is good to have hobbies. It is good to have aspirations. It is good to have dreams. It is good to work hard and invest your finances wisely. It is good to make friends with people who are smarter than you. But just make sure God is still number one in your life. I know that today following Jesus might not be the cool thing to do, and the rewards may not be as instantaneous as you want. Perhaps it's not the most popular decision in your family and with your friends. But when you learn to seek God first, when you give him all the glory he deserves, when you worship him, then my Bible says that everything else will be added unto you. Psalm 37 verse 4 says that you are to delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. That means this, that when you adore him, when you enjoy him, when you honor him, when you value him by devoting your life to him, then God will start showing up in your life. For answers arrive when you worship. Healing happens when you worship. Powerful relationships are formed when you worship. Dreams are birthed in worship. Oh, I wonder, are there any worshipers in kingdom culture tonight? Come on, give me a wave if you're a worshiper. I'm glad I came to Holland tonight. You see, friend, worship time isn't wasted time. Worship is not something we do once or twice a week in church. Worship isn't about completing and ticking off your checklist. Worship is a lifestyle. It is a habit. It is an attitude of the heart. It is who we are. And for some of you this evening, you need to start changing what you worship. You have been looking at the wrong stuff for too long now, and there needs to be a shift in your focus, an adjustment in your thinking, a transformation in the area of your worship. The Bible encourages us to have His praise continually on our lips. Not because God needs your worship. God doesn't need your praise. The happiness of God's day is not defined by whether you worship Him or not. He is not sitting up in heaven looking at His watch, hoping that any minute now you're going to like His Facebook page or comment on just how good He is. No, God doesn't need that. God knows how good He is. In fact, Scripture tells us that all of creation worships God without your help. Psalm 19 says that the heavens declare the glory of God and that the sky proclaims the work of His hands. Psalm 96 tells us that the sea resounds and everything in it, that the trees of all the forests sing for joy. God doesn't need your worship. God wants your worship. God desires your worship. He wants your worship so that as you press into Him, as you lift His name high, then God can begin to stir your heart and release those gifts and those promises that are unique to your life. Our friend, if only you knew, if only you knew the power of your worship. My assignment tonight comes from a passage in Acts chapter 16. And it is about two men called Paul and Silas. And these men knew how to worship. And I want to tell you a little bit about what is going on in the story here. It says that one day, Paul and Silas were on their way to the temple to pray, when all of a sudden, they were confronted by a woman with an evil spirit. Paul was so troubled by this woman's actions that he cast this evil spirit out of her. Now, this woman made a lot of money for herself and for her owners by predicting the future. And so they were not very happy at what Paul and Silas had just done. And so they had them arrested, beaten, stripped, flogged, thrown into prison, and their feet chained and fastened to the stocks. But let me read to you what happens next. Oh, and this is where it gets good. You can follow it on the Dutch Bible. Oh, it's in English. Wonderful. It says this, starting in Acts 16, verse 25. It said, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, I just like saying that. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought that all the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Do not harm yourself. We are all still here." And the story goes on to say that that jailer and all of his family made a decision to follow Christ as a result of the worship and the faith of Paul and Silas. Wow. I want to give you tonight three reasons why you need to be a worshiper. Are you ready? Good. The first is this. Number one is that worship connects us to the presence of God. It connects us to the presence of God. Despite these guys going about their day, doing the right thing, heading to the temple to pray, and setting a woman free, they now find themselves being beaten black and blue, covered in blood, and locked up in a maximum security jail. All because they were doing God's work. If anyone had the right to feel that God had abandoned them, had the right to be angry with God, had the right to be confused at the whole situation, then it was Paul and Silas. I doubt they thought that praying in the morning would have landed them in prison in the evening. But instead of complaining to God and feeling sorry for themselves, the Bible says that they started to worship God. That they prayed to him and sung hymns. That they placed a new song in their mouth. For they understood this. That worship, when you worship, it takes your eyes off of yourself and onto God. Do you know the Kingdom Culture Band that have been up here tonight? They're not just singing songs in the service to make the service look good. They're not here to put on a performance. They're not here to entertain us. They are here to lead us in worship so that despite the week you have had, whether it has been good or bad, that you can walk into church, you can lift your hands, you can open your mouth, and you can start to worship. Because when you worship, it takes your eyes off of yourself and onto our awesome, powerful, loving, magnificent, infallible God. Worship magnifies God. You know, of course, it's easy to worship God when you're on the mountaintop. But the real test of your faith is whether you can worship God when you find yourself in a prison, when you can't see God, when the doors don't open, when you find yourself stuck in a place that you cannot get out of. This is what Paul and Silas did. They knew how to worship. Some of you know my story. That in April 2015, as I touched on in my introduction, my wife and I had just bought our first house. We were 3 weeks away from the arrival of our first baby girl. A girl that we had named El. Her name was El, and it meant God's perfection. We had decorated the nursery. We had bought all the clothes. All the toys were lined up and ready. But when we went into hospital, my wife gave birth to El without a beating heart and no breath in her lungs. She was a stillborn baby. It was difficult. It's been really hard. It's not been easy at all. I held her for 3 days. 3 days believing that God would raise my little girl from the dead. But he didn't. I was angry. I was confused. I was in a prison of pain. And for 1 month, I couldn't speak to God. But as that month passed, I remember how I slowly opened my Bible again. And I began very slowly to worship God. And I remember reading Psalm 30 in that time that said, weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I remember reading in Isaiah 61 that God will comfort all who mourn, that he would place on me a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a spirit of praise instead of a spirit of despair. Does it still hurt? Yes, it does. Has my life changed forever? Yes, it has. But worshiping God when I couldn't see God, when I couldn't hear God, when I couldn't feel God, got the eyes of my heart back off of me and back onto the way maker, the miracle worker, the promise keeper. Oh, friend, you may be in a prison of pain tonight. You may be confused. It may look like your life is a mess right now. The finances have dried up. That addiction won't break. Your business is in trouble. You do not see a way forward. Well, can I encourage you, kingdom culture, to start worshiping God again? Because when you worship God, the atmosphere changes. Faith is renewed. Strength begins to rise. Hope is ignited. Courage is activated. Strongholds are loosened. The devil, he starts running when you worship, for out of your mouth comes rivers of living waters. Your worship is a weapon. It is a weapon. And some of you tonight need to start praising your way out of your problems and worshiping your way out of your worries. God is not lacking. God is not limited. He is waiting on your worship, for God always rescues a worshiper. Oh, turn to your neighbor and say, you better start worshiping. Now turn to your least favorite neighbor and say, you better start worshiping too. I've been saying that for 10 years now, and some of you still turn the wrong way first. The second reason why you need to be a worshiper is this, number two, is that worship connects us to His purpose. The Bible makes it very clear that every person was created to worship. Psalm 100 says that we are to worship God with gladness. It is He who made us, and that we are His. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. For the Lord is good and His love endures forever. Psalm 95 says, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Do you know we can worship God with our words, in our thoughts, by our actions? Jesus says that we are to worship God in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. Do you know the more you worship God, the more you get to know the heart of your Creator? The more you experience His love, the more you will begin to understand the plan and the purpose that God has set apart for your life. I love how Paul and Silas had a revelation of this truth. That just because they were in prison didn't mean that their hearts were imprisoned. That just because their bodies were chained up didn't mean that their spirit had to be shackled. That just because everyone else had lost hope didn't mean that they had to stop believing in their Creator. They were worshipers, and they knew that if they worshiped God, if they exalted God, no matter what their circumstances were, then God would show up and fight their battles for them. There was a man in the Old Testament who experienced the exact same thing. His name was Jehoshaphat, and he was king over Judah. And the Bible says that one day the Ammonites Moabites and the Midianites came to attack him and his people. They had a vast army, and it would take a miracle to stop them. So Jehoshaphat, he went to God. He prayed to God, and he asked God how they could defeat the army and win this battle. And God's response was this: to appoint a group of men and to place them on the front line and worship him. What a strange battle plan. I mean, can you imagine it? Here is this large, ferocious, nasty army that is approaching you, but God says you are to take up your positions, you are to stand firm and lift your voice and start to worship him. Ah, you don't need any physical weapons. You just need an orchestra of worship, a chorus of songs, a united anthem. For when you begin to lift your voice in praise, then you will see that your battle belongs to the Lord. Does anyone believe it in here tonight? You see, there is something powerful. There is something powerful about corporate worship. When men and women unite together to proclaim the goodness of God, and in the account of Paul and Silas, we see just that. It doesn't say that while Paul was worshiping, Silas was next to him sleeping. It says that they were worshiping together. They encouraged one another to keep the faith, to keep smiling, to keep a good attitude. I can just imagine them in this cold, dark, damp prison cell, battered, blooded and bruised, talking to each other about their favorite worship songs. I can see Paul leaning over to Silas and saying, "Hey, Silas, I know a good one." And it goes like this: "You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am." Thank goodness I don't lead worship, eh? But then Silas, he leans over to Paul. And he says, "I know an even better one. We need to sing, 'There is power in the name of Jesus.'" There is power. Come on, church, sing it with me. "In the name of Jesus, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain." Come on, we go again. "There is power in the name of Jesus, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain." Wow. And all the prisoners, they were listening. They could not believe what they're hearing. You see, they have never heard people singing in prison before. All they have ever heard is the moaning and groaning of pain, the tears of regret, the sound of silence, that they will never be getting out of prison again. No wonder they were listening, because they had never seen this take place inside of a dungeon before. Because here are two worshippers, here are two men with an indescribable joy in their heart, with an undeniable passion in their voice, with a united spirit opening up their mouth and giving God all the glory that he deserves. Oh, Paul and Silas, they were not humming these hymns. They were not worshiping. They were not whispering their worship. They were boldly declaring the word of God. The truth that Jesus Christ had died on a cross and rose again so that you and I could be forgiven of our sins. They were singing that there was power in the name of Jesus. And as they sung those words, the Bible says that everybody's chains came loose, all because of the worship of two men. Two men. The old and the young, the sinner and the saved were all set free because of two men. Two men, wow. Do you know that is why it is important that you come to church? Because there is something unique about gathering together and worshiping God. It reminds us that no matter what your background is, what your ethnicity is, how rich or how poor you are, we tonight in this room are all on the same side. We belong to one body that is made up of many parts, and your part counts. Your contribution matters. Your presence matters. Your voice matters. Corporate worship does something that you cannot get on your own. It awakens our heart as we declare God's promises over each other. It encourages us that we do not walk alone. It ignites the faith in the person on your left and on your right. And it also gets the entire attention of heaven and can bring the breakthrough we desire. Oh, corporate worship, collective worship, united worship means that tonight something could happen in your life. Because you're here this evening. Because my Bible says that when two or three gather together, there Jesus is in the middle. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is... Come on. Let's say that. How do you say that in Dutch, Mark? How'd you say it? Fry night. There is freedom. There is freedom. Now, why don't we give Sarah a hand? Is this helping you tonight? I want to call the band forward as I bring this to a close. I have to have a close, otherwise Pastor Theo will never have me back. Just keep preaching. Okay, I'll keep preaching. God and I. The third key, the third reason for you to be a worshiper is this, is number three, is that worship connects us to His power. It connects us to His power. Acts chapter 16, verse 26 says, suddenly there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once all the prison doors flew open and everybody's chains came loose. Wow. Now that sounds like a prayer meeting that I want to be a part of. Here are these wounded men worshiping God with all their heart when suddenly the foundations start to shake and the chains come loose. What a moment. What a moment. But did you notice how precise God is? A violent earthquake where only the chains came loose. Now, I have never experienced a violent earthquake, but I have seen the destruction that they can cause on the TV. So how is it that the ground and the foundations can be shaken so strongly, but the ceiling doesn't come down and the walls don't cave in? Think about that for a moment. Just think if the God that we knew was a clumsy God. And he said to Paul, oh, sorry, Paul, I used a bit too much power there as the ceiling fell down on his head. Just imagine if the God we knew was an uncertain God. And he said to Silas, hey, Silas, I've managed to free one of your feet, but I'm a bit unsure how to free the other one. You won't be getting out tonight. No, the God we serve is a precise God. He is an accurate God. He is an exact God. Look at the beauty and the precision of creation. Did you know that the earth is tilted at a perfect 23.4 degrees so that we can experience the seasons throughout the year? Do you know without that tilt, all of humanity would suffer? Did you know that we live a perfect distance away from the sun? If we lived any closer, we would all melt. If we lived any further away, we would all freeze. Did you know that the earth spins at 1,000 miles an hour so that we get gravity? If we didn't get gravity, you and I would be floating in space. I look at the birds of the air, the fish in the sea, the animals of the land, how they eat, how they move, how they reproduce, from the eagle down to the sparrow, from the whale down to the goldfish, from the giraffe down to the ant. God is precise. And that same God that designed the planet and the complexities of the solar system designed you. You are a unique piece of craftsmanship, handmade in God's image. God knitted you together inside of your mother's womb. You are not a mistake. You are not an accident. You have been fearfully and wonderfully made. There is only one of you on the planet, and there will never be another you. So do not think that God has given up on you. Do not think that God has finished with you. He knows exactly who you are. He knows what doors to open in your life and what doors to close. He knows when to elevate you and when to hide you. He knows when to show up and get you out of trouble. His timing is perfect and His power is precise. If you don't believe me, let me show you one very quick thing, one more thing, and then I'm out of here. The Bible says that this miracle happened at midnight. Midnight is the darkest point of the night. It is also a significant time on the clock, as it is the transition period from one day to the next. It is the moment in time when the date changes. It marks the end of one day and the beginning of another. When the clock strikes 12. When the clock strikes 12, yesterday has gone and today has arrived. It seemed like God had forgotten about Paul and Silas. It seemed like their day had been done. It looked like God had failed them, that they had missed their miracle. But church, when you know, when you learn how to worship God, when you cannot see God, when you can worship God in your wilderness, when you can worship God when the walls are not coming down, then God has a habit of showing up at the midnight hour. Don't you get bitter or start complaining that life is unfair or that someone did you wrong. Your prison isn't permanent. Come on, band, let's get ready to go. Where you are right now is not where you are supposed to stay. Where you are is temporary. But you tonight need to start playing your part by worshiping Him again. Because when you begin to worship, things happen. Things happen when you worship. Things happen. Heaven invades earth when you worship. God's power is released when you worship. Doors are open when you worship. Souls are saved when you worship. Mountains move.
His power trains the name.
Dr. Moss, when you worship, oh church, will you worship Him? Will you worship Him? Will you worship Him? Will you worship Him tonight? Come on, Kingdom Culture, lift your hand in this place tonight and let's believe for God to move in here. Come on. If Paul and Silas can praise Him that the prison doors flew open and that the foundation shakes, then we can see the same tonight. But we need to decide. We need to make a decision that right now, even if your medical report is bad, I will worship. And through my hurt, I will worship. And during my pain, I will worship. And when I'm facing rejection, I will worship. And when I'm winning, I will worship. And when I'm losing, I will worship. Come on, come on, come on, come on.
In the name of Jesus.
For every single one of you in just a moment, and then we're going to have a time of ministry to the side too, because God is going to do stuff in your life tonight. I believe it. I really believe it, that you can leave this place different. But before we pray for you, everywhere I go, I want to give people an opportunity to make your peace with God, to invite Jesus Christ to be the Lord and Savior of your heart. And so right now, if I could have head bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, Christians in prayer. I'm not going to embarrass you and call you to the front. This isn't about me and you. This is a moment between you and God. The Bible says that Jesus Christ paid the penalty for your sin and my sin. He took our guilt, our past, our present, our future, our shame, our rejection. He took it all to the grave. But 3 days later, Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He smashed through the chains of sin. He broke through the bonds of death and He made a way. He made a way for you and I to be forgiven, to be loved and accepted. And tonight, if you reach out in faith, you can receive that gift, the gift of salvation. You cannot buy it. You cannot earn it. You cannot work for it. But tonight, if you surrender your heart to Him, then Jesus Christ will come alive on your insides. And so if I'm speaking to you,
I'm going to count to three. And on three, I just want you to boldly lift up your hands so that I can lead you through a prayer of faith. Maybe you've never made this decision before. Perhaps it's the first time you've ever come to church. Or maybe once upon a time, you had said yes to God, but you've backslidden. You got stuck in the prison. But tonight, Jesus is knocking on the walls of your heart, and you need to recommit your life to Christ. Here we go, church, Christians in prayer. On three, if that's you. I see hands going up already. Here we go. One, two, three. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Wow. Thank you. Wow. Lift these hands high. Wow. So many of you this morning. Lift them high. This is a powerful moment. Keep them raised. Keep them raised. Keep them raised. There is many of you tonight. That's it. Raise them high. Raise them high. A few more seconds. Is anyone else going to join these people tonight and make the greatest decision? Thank you. I see your hand too. Wonderful. 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 Okay, you can put your hands down. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to lead us all through a simple prayer of faith. And I want every single one of us to repeat it after me, even if you didn't raise your hands tonight. And there were many of you. So come on, church, let's pray together. In English, after me. Dear God, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Today I ask you to come into my heart and to forgive me from my sins. Father, I turn towards you and I accept your gift of grace. I ask that you would use me to make your name known all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, let's give those people and our God a mighty round of applause.